Hello, I'm Katrina Fox. Since recording this podcast, you can now find a lot of my content for vegan businesses, including my Vegans in the Limelight PR course, as part of veganbusinesstribe.com. If you're a vegan leader of any kind and want to connect with me directly to help you use strategic storytelling to ethically influence your audience, then please visit katrinafox.com. I hope you enjoy the show.
Are you a vegan who views your business as your form of activism? If so, Vegan Business Tribe has hundreds of hours of masterclasses, courses, guides, and podcasts to help you grow a vegan business that doesn't just make a profit, but makes an impact too. Just head over to veganbusinesstribe.com and also claim a free 20-minute coaching call when you sign up.
Welcome to Vegan Business Talk with Katrina Fox, author of Vegan Ventures, Start and Grow an Ethical Business. Hello and welcome to episode 86 of Vegan Business Talk. I'm Katrina Fox, journalist, author, media and PR coach, copywriter, editor and proofreader, and founder of Vegan Business Media, a content events and training platform providing success tips for vegan business owners and entrepreneurs. Now, before we get into the main part of the show, I wanted to let you know that I've opened up enrollment again to my online PR course and group coaching program, Vegans in the Limelight. I ran the course for the first time earlier this year with a group of vegan business owners and entrepreneurs from across the globe over a 12-week period. And it now comes with a full 12 months of group coaching, including a monthly live question and answer call. You can also post your questions on the learning platform, and you can post your pitches to get feedback from me before you send them to journalists. So you've basically got me holding your hand, helping you to do your own PR for a full year. It's a great value program. It's way more affordable than similar courses, and it's the only one that's specifically aimed at vegan and plant-based business owners and entrepreneurs. Some of the current students have already got media coverage in mainstream and specialist newspapers, magazines, radio and TV shows. So if you'd like to get your vegan brand or yourself featured in the media, but you don't have the budget to hire a publicist or a PR agency, then I highly recommend you check out this program. You get full and immediate access to the materials as soon as you enroll. You can find out all the details by going to veganbusinessmedia.com and clicking on the link for the course Vegans in the Limelight. In this episode, I interview Day Radley, a vegan chef in London in the UK. Day has worked across three continents launching and running restaurants. She became a chef in 2010 after many years as a passionate foodie. After starting out in high-stress minimum-wage kitchens, she quickly rose to head and executive chef and went on to work as a private chef. She now works as a consultant advising brands on food concept as well as a cooking teacher. She offers bespoke cooking classes in people's homes as well as public group classes and is available for private catering. Day will also be teaching the first vegan natural chef course at the Centre for Naturopathic Medicine in November this year. That's 2017 if you're listening in the future. Her first book, Love.Food, is released later this month, and she recently ran a successful crowdfunding campaign to raise funds to put together a pilot plant-based cooking show to pitch to mainstream TV executives. In this interview, Day discusses why trying to find your passion is not a good strategy for long-term success and what you should focus on instead, how her degree in art history and putting on an art exhibition was instrumental in launching her career as a chef, what she did to land her first job in a professional kitchen despite having no formal training as a chef, how an appearance on Sky News earlier this year came about and the benefits to her business of this and other subsequent media coverage, what makes her stand out from other vegan and plant-based chefs, what she did to make her recent crowdfunding campaign a success, and much more. Here's the interview with Day Radley. Hello, Day. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Hello.
It's great.
Yeah, thanks.
It's great to have you on the show. I'd say before we came on air, I've been very excited to hear about you and some of your successes, and you're doing some really exciting stuff. So looking forward to sharing that with the audience. But I always kick off with this first question to everyone I have on the show. Why do you do what you do? What are your drivers? What's your why?
A few years ago, I had to ask myself the same question. I think I was feeling a bit lost, and I didn't really know in what direction, you know, I should go. I mean, I knew that I loved cooking, and I knew that I really believed in veganism, but I couldn't really see how I could really make a change in it. And so I felt quite lost at that time, and I felt kind of like quite helpless as well. So I asked myself that question over about like a 6 month period, and you know, I always came back to the animals. So you know, I figured out that I'm doing it for them, and that became like a kind of mantra that I have for myself. You know, that it starts and ends with them, and limiting their suffering and hopefully ending their suffering. So you know, I'd heard people say about, you know, finding your purpose. I think Ryan Holiday, he talked about...
Oh, I'm just reading a book by him. Trust me, I'm lying. Oh, I finally mentioned him.
Yeah, he's great. He's a very serious young man. but he has, like, some brilliant ideas. And he's almost kind of like a bit of a modern-day philosopher, although I think that he has, like, a way to go in his writing style, I think. You know, but I think he's definitely getting there, and he has some great ideas. And he said, you know, it's not about passion, no, it's about finding your purpose, because passions come and go, and that's very kind of like emotion based, your passion.
Yeah.
But your purpose, that's a lot more solid. And so I see that as my North Star, and while that helps, and it has helped, and it helps focus me, it can also lead to burnout. And I think people who have either a purpose that is, you know, based on animal rights, or you know, anything kind of charitable, whether it's helping the homeless or, you know, helping underprivileged people or whatever, it's a double-edged sword, you know. So it helps motivate you, it helps drive you, it helps keep you focused, and you know in which direction you're going. But you also have to be careful, because sometimes that can lead you to not looking after yourself properly.
So true. I think we can all relate to that.
Absolutely so that's my why. It's for the animals,
based on the animals. So now obviously there's a lot of things you could have done in regards to that purpose. So you chose to become a chef, so, and a vegan chef. So tell us a bit about that. Why did you go in that direction?
Well, I kind of just fell into it. I'd always been really interested in cooking, and done it as a hobby. You know, always like created elaborate dinner parties for my friends, and was really interested in cooking. I've been vegan since I was 17. So that was 1995 I became vegan. So I had to become at least an adequate chef, an adequate cook at that time. But I never dreamed that I could have it as a career, because at that time there weren't that many vegans to cook for. So I've been through a kind of interesting path of being in fashion as a designer maker, and then going back to university to study my master's in art history. And at the end of that experience, I didn't know what to do. I was living in a place where there weren't many jobs in art history. I had an office job I was doing whilst I was at university, and I thought, oh well, you know, this is okay, I can just, you know, sit in my office and listen to music, and you know, the job's quite easy and the people are lovely, maybe I should just, you know, put up with this. But it was just killing my soul. You know, it didn't really give me anything back, any enjoyment back. So I quit that job with no job to go to, and I was doing an art exhibition in a cafe in Brighton, which is where I lived for 10 years. And the gentleman who owned it, he talked to me about me being vegan and said, well, why don't you make food for here? Cakes and pastries and stuff like that, because I'm gluten-free as well, so I could do vegan and gluten-free. So I started doing that, just cooking from home, and I loved it. You know, I could do it all day, every day, and be completely happy.
Wow.
And make money at the same time. You know, being able to combine doing something practical and creative, you know, with using my hands, you know, that is a very big part of me. That's what I enjoy. But also being able to do it to promote a cause that I believe in. That was when those things came together. And I very much believe that a job has to fulfill multiple things. So it has to be something you enjoy doing on a day-to-day basis. But if it can also fulfill your ultimate kind of drivers, your ultimate motivators, your ideals, your core beliefs, then that's when you can become really happy in your work. So, you know, I could have went and got a job, you know, working for the Vegan Society, working in their offices, which I did. You know, I would look every now and again at what they had on offer and you know, think about going and working for a charity like that, because I really believe in what they're doing. But actually, for someone like me, working in an office, it just doesn't work.
Right, got it.
That won't keep me happy. So it has to be those things that kind of come together. So at that point, those things came together. And from there, I was quite, how can I say it? I like to kind of push myself in those areas. So when I found that job, I then also did a lot of other things to do with food. So I got involved in a food magazine. I changed my photography slightly, so it was more food photography. And I did all these other extra things on the side. So then when it did get to the point of me applying for my first job in a professional kitchen, I had quite a lot that I could show them. You know, I had my food, so I took along samples of my food to my interview. I had the magazine that I'd been in, and I had my food photography. So, you know, there was, I didn't leave them with any doubt that I was passionate about what I did.
Brilliant. I love that. I love how you combine that creativity that you've obviously got that's innate to you. And even though you said you mentioned you studied art history and fashion, and you've managed to kind of use that creativity in a different way. And I think that's really cool. And like you say, you really kind of put that together so that when you did go to put yourself out there as a chef, yeah, like you said, it was really obvious that's what you wanted to do. That's fabulous. So when you went for that job, was that a plant-based job, like where you had to cook, or was it just like did you have to work with animal ingredients to begin with before kind of putting yourself out there as a personal chef?
So my first job in a professional kitchen was in a vegetarian restaurant.
Oh, okay.
So, and it was cool. As the pastry chef. So I did have to deal with eggs and dairy. But one of the reasons that they wanted me there was to increase the vegan and gluten-free food that they had.
Oh, nice.
So although it's difficult to work with dairy and eggs, if you're doing it in order to increase the vegan offerings, then it's kind of, you put up with it basically, because you know that you are doing good, and that without you there, then they would just have like pretty much a complete pastry menu that is all dairy and eggs.
Right, exactly. Yeah, so it's for that bigger cause. So,
exactly. And it isn't perfect, but you know, vegan plant-based chefs have to make that call at the moment. There are more and more jobs in solely vegan establishments, but sometimes, you know, you can't find them at the right time or whatever, and you have to make that judgment call.
Exactly. No, that's good advice. So in terms of you kind of branching out, so you've got your experience in the professional kitchen, in terms of you kind of branching out and effectively running your own business as a chef, what were some of your challenges when you first started out in that direction?
Working in a professional kitchen is pretty hard. It's pretty dirty. It's not glamorous at all. You know, the restaurant was beautiful, was really beautiful, but you know, we were in the basement in the kitchen and you know, in a really old building, and it was hot and it was sweaty, and I was the only woman in the kitchen. And I'm fairly small. you know, big heavy pans, and you have to kind of hold your own. So I could never ask, I never wanted to ask the guys to like lift a heavy pan for me or anything like that. So I made sure that I could do that myself. So that was actually when I started weight training. You know, you can't show a sign of weakness in that way. You know, the chefing environment is mainly still quite quite masculine.
Right.
It's not a very positive environment in many kitchens. It can be quite kind of not necessarily aggressive, but not a positive environment. A lot of the chefs are really stressed. They don't really like being chefs. There's a lot of like alcohol problems in kitchens and stuff like that. So it isn't a very positive environment, which I was quite surprised at, because I thought vegetarian kitchen, it's going to be really lovely, and you know, everyone's going to love the food and they're going to be really passionate about it. And no, it's not like that. But you know, I it was a good test because I loved it anyway.
Fantastic. That is a good test. Yeah, that's fine. Were you a freelance chef then, Day? Were you working there and then you worked at other places? So I'm just kind of curious how you got your kind of your own business off the ground.
So from that position, I travelled abroad and I worked a few different places, being a head chef and also setting up restaurants for people. So I set up a couple of restaurants, one in Kuala Lumpur, and then I helped set one up in Brighton as well as part of a cinema. So they were all, you know, contracted. You know, I was employed for them. And then I became a private chef in London. And that was 2000... Yeah, about 4 years ago. Yeah, I came to London to do that. And then whilst I was doing that, I also started doing things like teaching and doing cooking demos and that type of thing. And then on to teaching. So now I'm self-employed. And I mainly do teaching at the moment, but I have a few other kind of like projects that are just starting now. So I've got my first book out next month.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you. Oh,
fantastic. Wonderful. And what's it called?
It's called Love.food. So Love Food.
Nice.
And it's a 28-day plan to end chaotic eating and fall back in love with food.
Oh, lovely. So that's a good title.
So it's not a recipe book, but it's about how to have a better relationship with food, basically, because I see so many people having buying all these recipe books but not actually doing anything with them.
So
I think part of it is our relationship with food. Well, I think that's a big part of it. So that's the first in a whole series actually of books about that.
Fantastic. You've got a really good, quite diverse model of business. Like you say, you're doing the teaching and the classes, and so you managed to reach different people.
Yeah, absolutely. And that teaching process is really valuable. Just getting to talk to people about their own problems with food, seeing how they understand, you know, a recipe or don't understand it, or you know what issues they have. I think teaching is possibly, you know, one of the best things that you can do, and also just having that interaction with people as well. I think so often now it's all about, you know, social media and doing stuff online, and actually there's great value in seeing people in person, because I know that it inspires them a lot more to do something than if they'd just seeing something on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. So particularly with something like food as well, where you literally are kind of getting it, you know, hands-on kind of thing, that it's a different learning experience. And I know some people quite enjoy learning online, but others, yeah, like to kind of get there in person and do that. That's great. Now, there's a lot more vegan chefs or plant-based chefs as we're seeing now, as well as nutritionists, as dietitians, also health coaches, all putting themselves out there. So how do you go about standing out, and either both within the sort of vegan business world and outside of it, and maintaining a steady flow of work?
So when I started like my website and photographing food, I looked at all of the people who were already, you know, doing it and their style, and part of me felt like I should fit in with that, and then a bigger part of me felt like I should just do whatever represented me and who I am. So my food style and my food photography is very bright. I didn't really like that food style of, you know, everything really white, and then these very kind of set-up shots that would, you know, like scatterings of like peppercorns next to something.
Yes, yeah, I know what you mean.
And it felt very, very fake to me. And the kind of like white, you know, paleness of it, like that isn't me at all. Like my food is very flavoursome. It's very kind of like intense flavours and stuff like that, and I wanted that to come through. So I use a lot of like bright colours. You know, and they aren't set up shots. Like it's literally like, this is what I ate today. You know. So from a kind of like branding perspective, I think I differ quite a lot. Because everything I do is very bright. You know, the colours on my website and that type of thing. So I think that makes me stand out. But that is literally just going with how I feel about it. It isn't, you know, like a conscious decision of, oh, I need to make myself stand out from those people, therefore I'll do this. It's like, that is just part of me. That's who I am. And it represents quite well what I do.
It's important to be authentic. Yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. You know, and I always felt like in the future, I want somebody to look at a food photo of mine in like The Guardian or whatever, and be able to go, yeah, that's Chef Day.
Yeah.
I know that's Chef Day because I can just tell by the colours and by the way she set it up. And do you know what I mean? Like it should be a real representative of you. And I think definitely like my art background has helped that a lot. You know, everyone says like going to art college, you know, doesn't really help you get a job, but actually
just not the job that they think.
Exactly. It gives you amazing like tools, and you know, so I think I may have gone off your question though. What was your
question? No, that was all right. It was good. No, it's good. It's about how you stand out amongst the others. So I love what you've said about not try, because it is tempting. I think we're all kind of that. We're going into something particularly fairly new. It is tempting. You know, you kind of want to know what's out there. You know, what's in the market. That's mm-hmm. a kind of a natural thing. But I think when we try to do that, oh well, they're doing that, so I'll fit in and do that. And I think a lot of us sort of try that to begin with, and then it just doesn't work because it's so exhausting trying to mimic someone else and be usually a lesser version of that person, they're being them. So I love how you've said, you know, you've just kind of just got to go, okay, this is me, and put it out there and attract the people who love you and your style, so rather than trying to please everyone.
Yeah, absolutely.
Cool. Yeah. So in terms of marketing then, now and the use of the word vegan, this is another question I love asking everyone, and there's so many different answers and there's no right or wrong. So you're obviously very upfront in your branding, your Vegan Chef Day. So tell us a little bit about your thoughts and decisions about how much to use the word vegan as opposed to say plant-based or plant-powered or what have you in your branding and your marketing.
Well, I think that depends what audience you're going for. So when I was starting out and doing my website, I wanted to be very upfront about that, and I wanted to aim at the vegan community, you know, and establish myself within that community. And it just made sense to me that it was Vegan Chef Day, that it was right up there up front. And that was fine. But now when we're talking about things like the TV pilot that I'm working on, we don't mention the word vegan in it at all. But that's because the audience is very different for it. So the audience for that is a mainstream audience. It isn't vegans in particular, although, you know, they'll be very aware that they'll already know what it is, you know, because of the press that we've had, like in the vegan community, they'll already know that it's a vegan show. But for the non-vegan people, we don't want to have the word vegan in the title, because quite often people will go, okay, well, I'm not vegan, so that's not for me.
That's right. Yeah.
So we want it to be as accessible as possible. So during the show as well, we don't talk about vegan issues. We don't talk about animals. We may touch on health, but not very much. It's just about cooking. We want to kind of like leave the why you would do it to other people. And there are great people who are doing it. You know, they may have watched documentaries or somebody may have mentioned it to them or whatever, but that's kind of like not what we're doing. We're just showing them the how. So it needs to be something that they would, you know, watch and not worry that they are going to be made to feel guilty about the choices that they've made up to that point.
Got it. So just for listeners who haven't heard about this, so you've basically raised the funds, which is great, which we'll talk about in a moment as well, via crowdfunding to make a TV pilot to pitch to executives for a mainstream plant-based cooking show, which is fantastic because it's about time. So good. That's great. So you're using, I love the tech that you've taken there is that, yeah, you're trying to make it as accessible as possible and keep it open to as many people as possible and introduce them to plant-based eating without, yeah, kind of putting all those other issues in. So that's fantastic. So on that, so you, as I say, you've successfully raised the money to do this pilot by crowdfunding. I think you even went over target. And that's great because a lot of vegan and plant-based crowdfunding campaigns, they're often not that successful. So I'm curious, what would you say were your, what do you think you did or what were your key strategies that you think made this crowdfunding campaign a success?
So I think the first one was the service that I chose to go with. So I went with chuffed.org. And Chuffed is different from, say, Kickstarter in the fact that with Chuffed, it has to all be charitable in some way. So, you know, on Kickstarter, you can say, oh, I want to make a record or I want to write a book or whatever, yeah. Please fund me. Whereas with Chuffed, it has to have like some type of charitable angle. And Chuffed have been so supportive. So the first thing was that I went to a workshop with them in London and that was amazing. So I did like a lot of the initial work with them on that workshop, which is just fantastic.
Oh, great. So you did the hands-on stuff on the day.
Yeah. And you know, there's a big group of you. So you get feedback immediately. And you get feedback from the guys at Chuff, who know what works and what doesn't because they've seen it time and time again. So that was the biggest thing. Having their support was amazing.
Excellent. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. And then I think having a network, like I haven't got a huge email list myself from my website, but I do have great contact with people like the Vegan Society and Plant-Based News and Viva and Veganuary.
Yeah. Yeah.
As well, I've worked with all of those in the past, so they were very happy to support it. So you need to have like some sort of network. So if you don't have like a huge email list yourself, then you have to have some other way of getting the message out there. So they were massively supportive. And then with the crowdfunding, I mean, it's a lot about just like planning and social media, getting the message out there. And then during it as well, we had brands and restaurants donate perks. So people could give us money, but in exchange, they would get some sort of perk. So we had things like a month's supply of porridge and a month's supply of vegan chocolate, you know, a meal for two, you know, that type of thing. And then we also did our own perks as well, like an on-set experience where people come to the pilot, the shooting of the pilot, and they take part in it. So we also sold things like that, which were greatly successful, actually.
Yeah, they sound really unique, which is you haven't just kind of thrown together just kind of random perks. Yeah, it sounds like you've really thought about it and come up with quite unique and creative perks.
Yeah. Well, it was just amazing that we had all that support from the brands as well. They're really supportive of this happening. So they were really generous. So, you know, without them, and also we had a bunch of volunteers as well who would just like keep sharing stuff for us. Because it is just about like getting it in front of as many eyes. And you know, now social media is so crowded.
Yeah.
You have to share it so much to keep reminding people of it. But it does, it makes you feel like you're hassling people. but actually with all of the noise, they may not have seen it as much as you've been sharing.
Exactly. Yeah, no, that's a good point, actually. I know what you mean. So no, that's fantastic. And you shared some really good tips there, which is great. Yeah, about the networks and everything and the unique perks. Now, you were featured on quite a bit of media lately. You've been on mainstream TV show, and I think Plant Based News did something where they captioned the video and it got shared a heap of times. And that's how actually I heard about you. I must interview this fabulous so how did that media coverage come about, Day? Did you approach them? Did they just find you because they were working on a story, or did you hire a publicist? How did that sort of come about?
Well, I've worked quite closely with Plant Based News before, and Robbie Docky is quite a good friend of mine. So, you know, he knew about, you know, what I was doing, and he wanted to feature an article on it. You know, and I was of course happy for them to do so, but they're great supporters of what we do, and vice versa as well. Yeah. So that's how that media coverage came about.
What about the TV show?
So I was on Sky News a few weeks ago.
Yeah,
actually a couple of months ago now, and that I was just contacted by Twitter. By one of the researchers for that, and they wanted to feature a story about the rise of vegan food sales in supermarkets. So I went in as an industry expert as that. So,
excellent.
Yeah.
So they found you on Twitter. That's good to know, actually. Yeah. No, that's very good.
Yeah.
Journalists, that's what, because I teach a PR course for vegan business owners and entrepreneurs, and it's one of the things I say, you do need to be on Twitter, because that's the platform where a lot of journalists hang out, and they look for hashtags, they look for experts. So that's awesome. I might use you as a little example, actually. Yeah. So no, that's great.
Fantastic. Yeah.
And then it all kind of snowballed a bit from there, I think, didn't you? And you were sort of suddenly everywhere, which is great. So what would you say have been the benefits of that kind of coverage to your business?
Well, I think it does just give you a bit of kind of kudos, you know. Organisations like that, they're kind of like the gatekeepers, you know. So if you're featured on something like that, then it makes people feel like you're more like a trusted source.
Absolutely.
yeah, it makes you seem more like of an expert, you know, which you are already. It's just getting that coverage.
Yeah, getting that third party endorsement, because instead of you saying how fabulous you are, which we know you are, it's like, yeah, getting that third party endorsement is fantastic. Great.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, I have to say that with every endorsement, you know, you'll get people complaining about what you said. But you have to be okay with that.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, you can't please everyone. And the more your profile is raised, the more, you know, you're going to get loads of people loving you, and then loads of people, like you say, coming out of the woodwork to critique that. But yeah, you've got to just go with that and keep putting out there. That's brilliant. So Dave, for those people who are maybe at a stage where they're working a day job, perhaps like similar to you, you know, it was an okay kind of job, didn't necessarily absolutely hate it, but didn't really, felt like something was missing, and they think they'd like to start up their own business of some kind, what advice would you offer them before making that jump from employee to running their own business?
I would definitely say do a play project if it's possible. So whatever business it is that you think you want to do, if you can do it on a kind of part-time basis, or, you know, just trying it out for a weekend or whatever, then do that. Because, you know, say for example, you know, being a chef, or having your own market stall selling, you know, vegan cupcakes or whatever it is, quite a lot of people kind of glamorize it. Because, you know, they may have enjoyed doing it every now and again when they get to do it as a hobby, but how are you going to feel doing it day in, day out? So you can set yourself, you know, a little project of, you know, I guess in the same way that I did with doing catering from home, you know, it didn't really put me in any jeopardy, essentially. Like, it didn't really change my circumstances in any way. I mean, I'd already quit my job, but just trying it out when you don't really have much to lose. Because, you know, do you want to stand on your feet making food 10 hours a day? Yeah. or whatever it is, whatever your business is, you know, what is the reality going to be of it? You know, and trying that out as a kind of like mini step towards it, and just knowing, you know, finding out, is it exactly what you want to do on a day-to-day basis? Yeah. Building up your contacts as well, you know, having more of a network. And the vegan community is great for that. So, you know, I think we're a bit different to other business communities, because we're in a way more willing to help each other out because we have a joint cause. And I think we're a bit more supportive of each other, and I see more collaboration as well. So, you know, if there's something you want to get into that's within veganism, getting out there and meeting more people within the vegan community, you know, it is a great start. Because, you know, you can even talk to them about your idea and they'll give you feedback. You know, that people won't want to steal your ideas. You know, they'll be quite happy to probably help you.
Got it. Yeah, no, I found that as well. Like, even just like approaching people for interviews to come on the show, and they're like, you know, will you come and share your strategies for success? And they're like, yeah, sure. You know, because we want more vegan businesses. So yeah, that's great. Now, in terms of, I know you said you basically, are you a self-taught chef? So, you know, you talked about art school and going to art school. Like, did you need to go to chef, or does one need to go to chef school, or, you know, whatever it's called, culinary college, or can you just be a self-taught chef and make a living?
Yeah, you can absolutely. Yeah, so I didn't go to any schools to learn anything like that, because I wasn't willing to go to a course where I had to handle meat and fish and stuff like that. And at that time there were no industry recognized vegan catering courses in the UK. So you don't have to. And actually, I would say working in a kitchen, it's more about learning what happens in that kitchen rather than knowing loads of different recipes.
Right.
You don't need to know loads of different recipes to work in a kitchen. All you need is the ability to be able to follow a recipe and to do it quickly. That's really the skill set that you need. And you need to be physically fit.
Right, well. Yes, I'm hearing that actually. Yeah, I'm surprised actually. I didn't even occur to me that you'd have to be lifting, because like you say, you know, if you don't work in that industry and you maybe just see a little bit, you know, on the TV, it does seem like, oh, it's this glamorous thing where you're all just being really creative behind the scenes. So no, that's good to know. And then obviously you've got skills where you've sort of transitioned very nicely into teaching and speaking. And I think I saw on social media you're teaching something at a college of naturopathy or something, is it?
Yeah. So in London we have the Centre for Naturopathic Medicine, and they will be starting a vegan natural chef course soon. Nice. So they already run a natural chef course. So it's a healthy chef course. So it's all, you know, juices, smoothies, all like healthy food, someone fermenting, that type of thing. But this will be the first one that is completely vegan. So the course starts in November, and they're just doing one intake of, I think, 16 students. And the course runs for 10 months and it's once every fortnight. So it's something you can fit in when you have a full-time job.
And, right.
You know, that type of thing. So it is made, you know, for people who are already working, really. But there is only one intake, and I'm actually pushing them to maybe do more, because I think that the demands for it will be really big, because people are always asking me for a course like this, you know, and where they can get something like that. So we're starting in November, and I'll be the tutor on that course.
That's fantastic. Wow. Yeah. Great. No, that's really, really good. So in terms of then, I mean, it's great to see that this is happening actually. You know, there, like you mentioned, when you first started out, there weren't these, you know, vegan or plant-based culinary classes or courses, and now, you know, that's starting to happen. So what's it, just kind of wrapping up there, what in terms of your future and your long-term vision for yourself and your brand, where do you see that going, Day?
Well, I can't really say too much about it now, but all I can say is that it's quite big.
Oh, good. Oh, a little teaser. Oh, I see.
So, yeah, I am just working on like a brand strategy and business plan at the moment. But there's going to be a lot of different arms to it. And it is very much about getting into the mainstream for me now.
Right.
So that is going to be in lots of different ways. Some of it's going to be aimed at children as well. So helping them learn about food and get excited about cooking again, because, you know, as a nation, the UK has kind of forgotten how to cook and isn't really interested in it. So, but yeah, there's lots of different kind of like elements to it. But yeah, we're just working on the brand at the moment.
That sounds very exciting. And of course, you've hopefully got the show as well, the cooking show that you're
aiming to. Yeah, and that will be all kind of part of it. So, you know, it's part kind of teaching, but it will also be, you know, making like products available to people and other services as well. Wonderful. So it's going to be an interesting time. This year's already been mental, like for everybody. 2017 has been like such a big year of change.
How have you navigated that? Because, like I said, it sounds like things are just really going off for you, which is wonderful. How have you sort of navigated that change?
How have I navigated it? It's been quite an emotional journey. There have been like quite a lot of like big highs and big lows. I think I'm more mindful of, you know, not burning out. And being able to like reach out to people when I do feel quite exhausted, because there's been like a lot going on, because at the same time as like us doing like the big projects, there's also been, you know, just doing the day-to-day kind of like teaching, and teaching is quite an exhausting thing to do, because you're talking like throughout the whole day. And so I think, yeah, having that support network around me again, and not being afraid to reach out to them and say, I'm struggling, can you please, like, you know, yeah, help me a bit, or just, you know, let me know that a friend's there or something like that. Whereas I think before I used to just like carry on my own. You know, I used to just think that this was my fight and I could do it all alone, and, you know, that type of thing. I was a bit stubborn like that.
Got it.
So, and when you're going through like these big shifts and changes, you need that network. So you need people who you can ask for advice, you know, how did they deal with it, or, you know, how did they balance this thing with this thing, or whatever it is, you know, so that kind of like practical advice, but also the emotional support as well.
Yeah, now that makes total sense, because like you say, on the face of it, you know, it sounds like, okay, you've got this TV show, you're going to be doing this and that, you're teaching, you've been on Sky News, and on the outside, it sounds very glamorous. And I know as well, you know, I'm up till like 1-2 in the mornings, obviously, you know, doing various stuff. There is a lot of work and time and energy that goes into that. So I'm glad that you've touched on that and shared that. And you've got a very inspirational journey. I love that, you know, you've sort of fell into almost this new way of working, from having your art degree in fashion to finding something you're passionate about, and working as a chef, and then all these other things that you've managed to accomplish, so that you've got these diverse forms of income, I guess, so you're not just relying on the one thing, and also enabling you to be creative by juggling, I guess, different types of projects, but within that arena. So I think you've got an amazing journey, and I really appreciate you coming on the show and sharing some great tips and advice. So thank you so much for joining me, Day.
It's a pleasure. Thank you for having me.
So that was vegan chef Day Radley. You can find out more at veganchefday.com. And that link is on the show notes page at veganbusinessmedia.com/podcasts and going to episode 86. Now for our vegan business news roundup. A group of teenagers in New Zealand have sold a vegan cupcake mixture to supermarkets, reports Plant-Based News. The five teens in year 13 created the product as part of a Young Enterprises scheme in which students start their own businesses.
They called their bakery startup Let Them Eat Cake and created the mixture for kids with dairy and egg allergies so they could cook with their parents. Even though the group didn't plan to continue the initiative after their studies, their product, which only needs water added to it, has become so popular that they've decided to stick with it. The low-sugar baking mixture is now sold at Farro Fresh and New World supermarkets across Auckland. New World Stonefields General Manager James Fabian said that the students had identified and filled a gap in the market. They developed a product that was unique, appealing, and that customers are buying, he said. Wonderful. I love it when I hear about young people creating vegan products because it really gives some hope for the future. And I must say, I love the sound of the convenience of this product. If you're a regular listener to this podcast, you'll know that I prefer to spend as little time as possible in the kitchen. So just adding water to something is right up my alley. Even I can manage that. Great stuff. A meat-heavy Filipino restaurant in Northern California has ditched all animal products and gone vegan, reports Veg News. Nick's Kitchen now has more than 30 plant-based dishes, including comfort food favourites such as meatloaf with mashed potatoes, greens and gravy, pot pie, chicken barbecue, crab cakes and ribs. New owners Raina Montenegro and Kenny Annis said they wanted to take the previous meat-laden eatery in a new direction. Food is a comfort and it should be medicine for the body and the mind. And because we incorporate the recipes we all love, meat eaters will be pleasantly surprised and vegans will be thrilled, they said. Fantastic! What with a plant-based food restaurant taking over a Burger King joint, which I reported on last week, and now this, we really are seeing the start of a vegan revolution. Love it! Finally, a vegan handbag company is launching a new range made from Pinatex pineapple leather. The HFS Collective, which stands for Hipsters for Sisters, makes ethical hands-free belt bags in Los Angeles to liberate women from their luggage. Owners Deborah and Rachel Denniston have come up with a stylish alternative to the fanny pack, or bum bag as it's known in the UK and Australia, and their new Pinatex range will be available from their website from the 14th of September. That's 2017 if you're listening in the future. The line will comprise a crossbody tote, two belt bags and a wallet. It's great to see more fashion brands make use of Pinatex, which is made from the leaves of pineapples which would otherwise go to waste. Stylish, ethical and sustainable are no longer mutually exclusive. Excellent. So that's it for this episode of Vegan Business Talk. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed the show, I'd really appreciate it if you gave it a review and rating on iTunes or any other platform you're listening on. Finally, I encourage you to head over to veganbusinessmedia.com where you can find more resources, including details of my media and PR consultations, copywriting, editing and proofreading services to help you grow your vegan business. I'm Katrina Fox, author of Vegan Ventures, Start and Grow an Ethical Business. And I look forward to catching up with you in the next episode of Vegan Business Talk. Bye for now.
If you enjoyed this podcast, also check out the Vegan Business Tribe podcast with myself, David Pennell. And you can find that on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, as well as the video version on YouTube too. And if you want to be part of the most amazing community of vegan business owners from around the world, then come and sign up with us at veganbusinesstribe.com to get all the support you need to grow a successful vegan business.